I kept wondering. I said, okay, so what is it that I really feel God leads me to talk about? And it seems like the thing that's really in my heart, it doesn't matter what message I've shared, I can all dub them almost under practical Christianity. I was the little kid who sat in the church and they talked about Jonah and the belly of the whale, and I'm thinking, and? I mean, I knew I wasn't going into a whale. So I think that's something that has always been on my heart. So my topic for today is developing an attitude of gratitude. Developing an attitude of gratitude. And so we'll see what the Holy Spirit does with us. And at the end of it, I'll put on my teacher hat and give you an assignment. It's due in a month. Does that help? So, Sal, I'm ready. And I'm going to try this PowerPoint thing. I use it in school, but I've never in church, so we'll see how it works. Am I supposed to click something? Ah, okay. So, when we talk, you know, when I was asleep one morning and I just woke up, like Joe said, I just wake up early. So I woke up and I had this phrase in my spirit, an attitude of gratitude. And I even thought, oh, wow, it rhymes. You could do a rap song. But I didn't know what it was until later on I realized that this was something that the Holy Spirit was brewing in me. So let's start off. What am I supposed to press? Like that? What am I supposed to do? I didn't do that. Okay. So what is an attitude? Now, I'm sure that for some of you, including me, someone somewhere has told you, you have such an attitude, right? And it's always used negatively. And if you're like me, I was the child who didn't say much, but I had a lot saying in my mind. Because I usually would think, and you don't? I just didn't say it out. I knew how to save my skin, right? So what is an attitude? It's a way of thinking. It's a way of feeling, and typically this way of thinking and feeling about something is shown in your behavior. So if I think negatively about you, I feel negatively about you, then I behave negatively, right? So the idea of someone saying, you have such an attitude, you should actually respond and say, yeah, and so do you. Everybody has an attitude. I think when we've used it colloquially in society, we're usually saying, you have a bad attitude. Right? So we need to qualify it. Now, what the Holy Spirit is leading me to talk about today is a good attitude. So not a bad one, a good attitude, right? So think of it, an attitude is a way of thinking, you're feeling, and it generates a certain behavior, right? Now, what is gratitude? Gratitude then is your ability to show thanks and gratefulness for things you have and the things you're expecting. So thanks and gratefulness. Now, if I give you a little clue, notice that for those of you who were here at the beginning of praise and worship, all our songs were about thanking, praising God, gratefulness. So this is very important. Now, it's something that as Christians, we kind of know we have to do, and we even say it, but we have not developed an attitude of doing it. And I think that's what the Holy Spirit was convicting me about. So for most of you, I'm sure that most of the scriptures we'll be sharing, you know it, but I would like you to allow the Holy Spirit to speak with you. How do you develop that attitude, right? Now, gratitude is a hard topic. You know that, right? In positive psychology, it's a big, big topic. Everybody's talking about it. And even in churches, you know, gratitude is a big thing. We have Thanksgiving, right? Our Thanksgiving meals, even the families that are not Christian, have everybody go around and say what they're thankful for, right? So it's a nice ceremony, but we want to go beyond that ceremony. Now, is gratitude important to God? Yes, it is, because I did some research, and in the Bible, the word gratitude, which comes from the Greek word chariti, C-H-A-R-I-T-I. I think that's where we got charity from. And it's mentioned 157 times. So it's important. It's not like one or two. And it's mentioned in different ways. It's sometimes used for thankfulness. It's sometimes used for grace, for favor. But gratitude is something very important. Now, the important thing I would like you to start by thinking about is that gratitude is actually a choice. Just like whether you have a good or bad attitude is a choice. Nobody forces you to have that attitude. I can do something real negative to you, but you choose how you respond, right? So gratitude is a choice. It is your being able to see life through a lens of acceptance and to look on the bright side, right? So it's your ability to put on a different pair of lenses. For those of you who wear glasses or put on contacts now, you know how it feels like. I did not know I needed glasses till I was in grad school. And it's a very funny story. I was married then. Still I'm married, right? But we were watching a movie. We were both in grad school. And we're watching a movie. And you know the little font that comes at the end with everybody's name? Minister Joe was reading it. So I'm laying in the bed and I said, are you making this up? I thought she was just calling some names, right? And he said, you can't read it? And I said, nobody reads those. Those are not made to be read. And he said, I can read it. So I got closer to the TV and I realized that he was actually reading these names. So that's when he said, I think you need glasses. And I said, no, I don't. So I went to the doctor and obviously I needed glasses. Now, was I too surprised? I mean, my dad, my mom, everybody wore glasses. But I thought I wouldn't, right? But when I put on those different lenses, the first day when we're driving home, wow. For those of you who have lived in New York, remember the grocery shop Pathmark? Their writing looks so different. It changed my attitude about life. I saw, you know, it would be like, is it a Jimmy Cliff song that says, I can see clearly now the rain is gone? I really could see, and that's what I want you to visualize. When my attitude about what I could see changed through the glasses, it really changed my perceptions, right? Now, let's, you know, in life, there are many things that come our way. So, you know, Minister Joe started by talking about all the roles that I play by God's grace, right? So I can give examples of gratitude. So I know that for my students, at the end of semester, or especially when for those who are graduating, they'll come to your office and say all these nice things. You're my favorite professor. And sometimes I'm thinking, wow, that's surprising. Because sometimes they're the students who give me the toughest time. And they'll come with a little gift wrapped in everything, right? Now, it made me feel very good. It made me feel very good because they didn't have to. It's a choice, right? And for those graduating, you can't say they're looking for brownie points because they are not coming back, right? So that is an example that really warmed my heart. Now, of course, as a wife, Minister Joe didn't know, but he did that today, right? Saying all the things I do and thanking me, that gives you a feeling like that. Now, as a mom, if my kids send me like a random text saying, hey, mom, thank you for this and all of that, I really appreciate it. I'm one of the people who keeps all their cards. I have one here. Don't worry, it's not about you, don't worry. But I have a card here and I keep all my texts. I always figure out how to save them because I like to go back to read them, right? So gratitude does something. It gives a feeling that is positive. Now, in recent times, one of the acts of gratitude that I have experienced that really blew me was, for all of us living here in the Poconos, we know that now we have two main hospitals, the St. Luke's and Lehigh Valley Pocono. And all of us have things we complain about each of them, right? So we, you know, that's the attitude we've had, and that's the attitude I've had. Although Lehigh Valley Hospital is where I've had all my kids. You know, I've had, but once in a while, we complain about them. Well, recently, I had an outpatient surgical procedure done. And everything went well, and I was happy. And then I got this letter in the mail, and it says Lehigh Valley Network, and it's a small envelope. So talk about attitude. The first thing I said was, my insurance better cover all of this because I am not paying them anything. This was before I even opened the envelope, right? So my thoughts, my feelings, and my behavior. So I opened the envelope. You can see that, right? Like, let's see what they want. To my surprise, when I opened that envelope, there was a card that says, thinking of you. So that kind of stopped me. I'm like, thinking of me? Okay. So I opened it. And it said, Susie, it was a privilege to care for you during your recent experience at Lehigh Valley Health Network. Please know you are in our thoughts. Sincerely, your care team. Now, that alone blew me. Now, as if that was not overwhelming enough, it wasn't one of those random, I'm sending you a card. All the people who worked with me, including all the people who say their names before anesthesia, they really think you're going to remember, but they all signed it. So over here, it says, get well soon, Beth. She was one of the nurses. Feel better soon, Megan. It was a pleasure taking care of you, Janet. I remember Janet. Janet did forever, right? And then this is the mother of all of it. Thank you for trusting me with your care. Dr. Reynolds. So, you know, it doesn't matter what Lehigh Valley's strengths and weaknesses are. This did it for me. This did it for me. And so I'm using it so that we understand that this gratitude thing does something for us. Now, gratitude is a lifestyle, right? It's a lifestyle of thankfulness, behaving in a way that shows you are grateful. So these medical team sending me that card told me that their behavior is that they're happy or they're thankful that I gave them that opportunity to work on me, because if everybody decided not to go to Lehigh Valley, I guess all of them will lose their jobs, right? So having that attitude changes everything. Now, there's a scripture that I'm going to start with and finish with. And it's a scripture that has extra meaning to me, has mixed feelings for me, but I decided I'll be a big girl and use it. So it's Psalm 118, verse 24. And it's a very common scripture. We sang about it today. It says, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Now, why is it meaningful to me? It's a scripture that I've always known, but I know two people who have used this scripture so much. And interestingly, both of them are in heaven now. The first person was Elder Bill. You remember Elder William? He would always have us repeat it, make that confession. Now, the second person is my sister Rose, who passed away in 2020. She used the scripture to the point that it was her phone message. Before you leave a message, you say, this is the day that the Lord has made, I'll rejoice. Yeah, this is Rose, leave a message. And I remember, who knows how long we have to live, I would usually say something like, yeah, and then leave the message. Now, after she passed away, I made sure I saved that. And it's something that I have, because I always sometimes wonder, so Elder William probably has met my sister, and they're thinking, oh, finally, they're using our scripture, right? So these are important. Now, it's not just important because it was my sister's voicemail and she liked it. It's important because I watched this woman go through cancer. I watched this woman get to a point where the doctor said, we can't do anything. And she never changed her voicemail. She never said, this is Rose, it's tough today. Let's not do this. In fact, at her burial service, some of the people in the church actually made a t-shirt. I have it. I should have worn it. It had a picture of her, and it had a scripture. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I looked at it, and I said, wow, what a way to be remembered, right? So if you're not going to remember anything today, I want you to remember that. Okay, so what does an attitude of gratitude involve? An attitude of gratitude. I don't know if I skipped one, but let's see. Okay. An attitude of gratitude, according to Dr. Robert Emmons, like one of the key researchers on happiness and gratitude and all of that. He talks about how for you to have that attitude, there's three things that you have to do. You have to recognize what you're grateful for. You have to acknowledge it, and then you have to appreciate it, right? So you have to recognize, acknowledge, and appreciate, right? So I want you to have this throughout the message today. And I'm going to be asking some questions, and in trying to answer those questions, we'll be going through scripture. Because I have the PowerPoint, for those of you who want notes, you can write the scriptures down and check them out later on, because I'll be reading some of them from my notes over here. So why is gratitude necessary? Let's look at what scripture says. The first one is it's necessary because God the Father expects us to show gratitude. God expects us to show gratitude. How do we know that? Remember the story about the lepers, the 10 lepers? So in Luke chapter 17, verses 11 to 19, it says, Luke 17:11. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at the distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." Now that always baffled me. I said, "Have mercy on me. You haven't done anything yet." But he said, "I should go show myself." So that took some step of faith on the part of the lepers, right? And as they went, they were cleansed. So it's in their going, through their going, that they got cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. So 10 people went, 10 people got healed. One came back. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. You know that the Samaritans and the Jews were not, you know, on good terms like that. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." So 10 people were cleansed. Only one went back. And Jesus called our attention to the fact that the 9 did wrong, right? When you go to sleep, you wake up. So are you the one person who wakes up in the morning and not take that for granted and say, "Thank you, God, that I'm awake"? Or are you the 9 who just say, "You know what? Yeah, everybody goes to sleep and wake up." That's not true. Not everybody who goes to sleep wakes up, right? Not everybody who sets out to drive gets where they're going, right? So God expects us to do it. And so I'm hoping that you develop that attitude of not taking things for granted, but actually doing it. The second reason why it's necessary to show gratitude is that God himself demonstrated it directly and asks us to do it in all circumstances. God demonstrated it and asks us to do it in all circumstances. Now let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. It says, "In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ for you. You know, when I think of this scripture, there is something, again, like I said, some of today's message has like a mixed feeling for me. When my mom, who is, at that time she was 80-something, she was told that one of her youngest had died before age 50. her pastors and, you know, some close family friends went. They didn't know how she was going to handle it. And after they told her, I hear that she was quiet for a while. And okay, everybody was waiting. She's going to cry. You know, there's many things to expect. And actually, I understand my mom said, in all things, give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. And I said, wow, I couldn't beat that. That was definitely not a scripture that came to my mind when I was on the phone and she was in the hospital and transitioning, right? So obviously, my mom had developed that attitude so that when push came to shove, she knew to say that, right? Another example that shows giving thanks regardless of circumstances, and I'm sure that till the Holy Spirit revealed this to me, I'd never thought of it that way. You know how we do communion and we read from 1 Corinthians 11, 23 to 24? And I'm going to read it, and I want you to change your attitude about that scripture. Jesus is the one saying that, for I have received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. No, Paul was saying that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's break it down. Jesus is going to die. I know the bread is just a symbolism, but what a good example of in all things. Jesus actually takes the bread, breaks it, and gives thanks that he's going to die. I mean, I don't know anyone who would want to do that, right? So that when we do the communion, we focus on the bread and the healing and all of that. But when Jesus did it, his circumstance was not a positive one. He knew he was going to die, but he still took the trouble to give thanks. And so when the Bible says in all things, really means in all things. The third reason why gratitude is important, and there are many more, I'm just focusing on three, is that gratitude is an opportunity for us to acknowledge God's goodness, right? The Bible says that what? Give thanks unto the Lord for he is good and his mercies endure forever. So when you show gratitude, you have to show gratitude because it's a way of acknowledging God's goodness, right? So the scripture I just read was from Psalm 136, verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. It didn't say, oh, give thanks sometimes. Oh, give thanks only when the bonus is big enough. Give thanks that you got your paycheck. You know, some people focus on the fact that, oh, we're living from paycheck to mouth. And I'm saying, I thank God that payroll does things right. So that on Friday, the money's in my checkbook. Now, you're crying about paycheck to mouth. Imagine what would happen if someone made a small mistake in payroll and your paycheck did not come. It will come next week, but it just didn't come today. Right? So there are many opportunities for us to show gratitude, but we've taken things for granted so much that we don't do it. Other scriptures like 1 Chronicles 16:34 says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercies endure forever. Give thanks, Psalm 100, verse 4, the second part of verse 4 and 5. It says, give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. So if you're like me and you've been taking things for granted, I went to sleep, I woke up, I had breakfast, you know, hey. Let's stop taking things for granted, right? Now let's look at other factors with gratitude. So what are some benefits of gratitude? I know that I can never sell a package unless I tell you what the benefits are, right? So yes, we're supposed to, God says, let's show gratitude, but what are some benefits? One of them is joy or contentment. There's a great quote by a Jesuit priest that says, it's not joy that makes us grateful, it is gratitude that makes us joyful. It's not joy that makes us grateful, it is gratitude that makes us joyful. So in other words, it's like the chicken and the egg. When you start showing gratitude, joy and contentment would follow. People want to wait to feel joy before they say thank you, but it actually does not work that way, right? If you read Psalm 28, verses 6 to 7 from the Message Bible, you know that's my favorite Bible, right? My favorite version. Psalm 28, verses 6 to 7. It says, blessed be God. He heard me praying. He proved he's on my side. I've thrown my lot in with him. Now I'm jumping for joy and shouting and singing my thanks to him. What did the writer say? It says that the psalmist says, I've thrown my lot in with him. So they did something before the joy came. You don't wait to get joy before you thank God. Amen? Now, let me give you a little bit of theory, right? In psychology and other social sciences, they talk about what we call the facial feedback hypothesis. The facial feedback hypothesis. Now, there's a lot of debates, a lot of back and forth, but I'm just going to talk about the basic part. The idea that our facial expression affects our emotions. Our facial expression affects our emotions. So if you're someone who smiles, you're more likely to feel contented and joy, regardless of your circumstance. If you're someone who frowns, you're more likely to feel discontented and always, you know, people will say you're what, cranky? Now, there is actually a biology behind it because when you smile, the contours in your muscles send some feedback to your brain that releases some brain chemicals that actually make you feel the joy. They've actually done studies where they got people to smile for a day. Nothing was happening. They just said smile. And then, like, the other people could not smile. Because in some of the studies, they gave them, like, Botox. They did something to their face where the muscles couldn't form. And at the end of the day, when they had to give a rating of how their day went, the people who smiled actually said they had a good day. And when you ask them what happened in their day, it wasn't nice things. Some people had a flat tire. You know, like, it wasn't an easy day, but it still felt that it was a good day. The people who were not allowed to smile, regardless of what good happened to them, they didn't give a good rating. And those are some of the things to remember, right? So that's joy and contentment is one of the benefits. Peace and satisfaction is another one of the benefits, right? So when you show gratitude, it helps give you a better outlook to the future, right? Someone said, gratitude turns what we have into enough. Gratitude turns what we have into enough. So instead of saying, I only have $20, when you start by saying, thank you, Jesus, for the $20, it turns that $20 into enough. That's why you have 20 and you seem happy and someone has 1,000 and they're still complaining. And when they're talking to you, you're thinking in your mind, I really don't see your point. I have 20 and I'm good, right? I always tell my kids that I don't know anyone who knows how to shop with $20 in a grocery shop better than me. When we were in grad school, we didn't have a whole lot. We were on stipends. And, you know, We went to Pathmark a lot, and we shopped with $20. I mean, we shopped with $20. Granted, it was a long time ago, but I still believe that I could do that. Gratitude turns what you have into enough. Let's look at Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 7. Again, like I said, these are very common scriptures. But I'm encouraging you to pragmatize these scriptures. Put them into use. Philippians 4, verse 6, it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, that's the key thing, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So instead of us staying anxious, Anxiety actually doesn't give us any results, right? We just worry about it, and we worry that we're worried, and we just keep going, right? But the Bible is saying that when we feel something that's making us anxious, let's pray about it. Let's have a heart of thanksgiving, because remember, God is a faithful God, and he's not going to leave you to hang. So with that attitude of thankfulness, that is what brings you the peace. At some point, you realize that you relinquish control. You realize that this is beyond me. Some people say this is above my pay grade, right? And so you leave it to God. And with time, that is what gives you a peace. Another benefit of gratitude is good health. There's a whole lot of studies on, you know, optimism or positive mindedness and good health. And I'm not going to go in that area, but I'm going to look at it in terms of scriptures, right? For instance, in Psalms 32, verse 3, when you look at the complete Jewish Bible, Psalm 32, verse 3, it says, "When I kept silent, my bones wasted away because of my groaning all day long." My bones wasted away because of my groaning all day long. So that if you have an attitude of gratitude, you're not going to be groaning all day long. You're going to look for something to be grateful about. And studies actually show that it helps your health. There's a study that it was over 1,000 people ranging from ages 8 to 80. And they found out that those who practiced gratefulness reported better health. They had a stronger immune system. They had less aches, less pains, lower blood pressure. Can't beat that. So what am I saying? When you wake up, try to smile. How about that? So when you smile, it tells your brain that, hey, something good's happening. It doesn't matter because the something good is subjective. See the thing? It's subjective. Always, when you feel you're broke, think about me going grocery shopping at $20. If I could do that, you could do that too. And you find out that we have engulfed ourselves with so many things. It's as if we have to do it, but it's actually a choice. We are choosing to do this, and it engulfs us in a way that we end up not showing gratitude. Are you with me? Okay, so we talked about gratitudes. We know that God expects us to do it. We know that there's some benefits to it, right? Now, what are some barriers? What are some of the things that make it difficult for us to show gratitude? So these are the very not pretty things about us, including myself. So one of them is envy and bitterness. Envy and bitterness. So you see someone and you're just bitter because they seem just to be in such a better position, right? So sometimes Zena makes me feel that way, but that's okay. See, she has that positiveness about her that could sometimes make you think, why can't I be that happy? But instead of going that way, I try to hang out with her so some will rub off on me, right? But and those are things too. When you hang out with people who are always cranky, you end up getting a cranky bug. So hang out with people who are not cranky and you get a not cranky bug, right? Now let's go to the scripture. How do we know that enviness doesn't help? Remember the story with Joseph and his brothers? I've heard many renditions and interpretations of it. And in fact, I think one of my daughters the other time was saying how Joseph's father was actually not a good parent. You know, he was showing favoritism, which is true. He was, right? He made that nice, kind of, imagine your dad makes a nice, gives your brother or sister all the designer clothes and said, like, come on, let's go to Walmart and get you some clothes there, right? Nothing wrong with Walmart clothes, but hey, if somebody's getting Michael Kors, I think you deserve it, right? So probably that's how Joseph's brothers felt. But let's do a little bit of history. For those of you who don't remember, Joseph's dad was serving the uncle, Laban, to get the wife, Rachel, right? And Laban pulled a fast one and deceived him and gave him Leah instead. So it's not the fault of Joseph's brothers, but the truth be told, Joseph was really not looking for Leah. So every time Joseph sees them, he's probably thinking, yeah. So when Joseph came, Joseph's dad was like, this is the son I've been waiting for. So I'm not justifying his favoritism, but I'm saying probably that was his mindset. But regardless of what your background history is, you are still responsible for your choices and your actions, right? So let's look at Genesis chapter 37, verses 4 and 18, and I'm reading from the Amplified version. So Genesis 37, verse 4. His brothers saw that their father loved Joseph more than all of his brothers, so they hated him and could not find it within themselves to speak to him on friendly terms. So the envy started, and they just could not. You know, it was difficult for them to say, thank you, Jesus, for my baby brother. That was definitely not a statement that came out of their mouth, right? Now, when we go to Genesis 37, verse 18, and when they saw him, so the brothers saw Joseph, from a distance, even before he came close to them, they plotted to kill him. So the lack of gratitude, the envy and bitterness, eventually, when we keep it enough, we end up doing things that get us in trouble. So that means that when you feel that sense, and we're human beings, we are always going to be given opportunities where we feel bitter, offended, hurt, envious. But when you feel it, turn it around. Like I have an exercise I sometimes give to clients. You know, when you're driving and, you know, those drivers that like the enemy puts on the road just to cut you, you know, it's like they were made for you for that day. You know, I challenged someone one day and I said, maybe they need prayers. And the person said, what do you mean? And I said, anytime someone cuts you, say a prayer for them. And so the next time I saw him, he said, now you have me praying for the whole Poconos. And I said, good for you. But you know, the good thing was that they were less angry. They put things in a different perspective, right? So this is somebody cutting you, honking you, doing all these things. And instead of honking them back or doing whatever you see people do, they decided, God help them. Help them have a good day. And it was just a short prayer, but it changed his whole attitude. In fact, it became a gratitude thing because he felt like God was, he became an intercessor. God was giving all these people on the road to pray for, right? And I remember teasing him and said, that's your new ministry, road prayer ministry, right? So if you want to be prayed for, cut this guy. He's sure going to pray for you, right? And it's interesting, but he made a choice. He made a choice. Another thing that makes it difficult for us to show gratitude is ungodliness. Ungodliness. And I'm reading from 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 to 3. 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 to 3. And I'm reading from the Phillips version. This is the first time that I delved into that, and I kind of liked it. It still doesn't take over the Message Bible, but I liked Phillips too. So 2 Timothy 3, verse 1, it says, but you must realize that in the last days, the times will be full of danger. We're in the last days, remember that. Men will become utterly self-centered, greedy for money, full of big words. They will be proud and contemptuous without any regard for what their parents taught them. They will be utterly lacking in gratitude, purity, and normal human affections. They will be men of unscrupulous speech and have no control of themselves. They will be passionate and unprincipled, treacherous, self-willed, and conceited, loving all the time what gives them pleasure instead of loving God. They will maintain a facade of religion, but their conduct will deny its validity. You must keep clear of people like this. So a lot of what I've read, we see around, people are self-centered, selfish, into themselves, right? Greedy. You just have to watch TV. People do things. The most recent one, and, you know, God bless Minister Joe, he took forever to explain to me. There was some guy who said the children who died on Sandy Hook actually didn't die. And then there were people who actually went to some of the children's parents to kind of like terrorize them. And I get so confused because I said, do they have jobs? I mean, you know, like, really? You travel all the way to some, you know. So there's a lot going on. And that ungodliness takes gratitude out of the picture for us. And it makes it difficult for us to show gratitude. Another reason why a barrier to gratitude is greed. Greed. And I'm looking at a scripture in Matthew chapter 26, verse 15. And said, what are you willing to give me if I hand him over to you? And they waited out for and paid to him 30 pieces of silver, which is about $21.60. That is what Judas took to betray Christ. Isn't it ridiculous? I don't even think you can have a good pizza with that these days, right? $21.60. But out of envy, out of his own ungodliness, remember, Judas was already stealing from the treasury anyway. So he got to the point that out of greed, instead of showing gratitude to Jesus for picking him as one of the 12, he went the other way. He thought there's more where that is coming from. So why don't I just sell him all out? So gratitude is difficult when you're filled with greed. Another factor is complaining and criticalness. Now, I know when we talk about greed at Judas, we're thinking, we're not doing that. I'm not selling a person for $26, $21, right? But let's talk about complaining and criticalness. We are all guilty of it. We're all guilty of it. I usually tell people, you know, having the critical thinking ability is good, but it also has its weaknesses. Critical thinkers are good. They can look at things and tell you what's going wrong. But if you're not careful, you become the naysayer forever, right? So let's look at James chapter 5, verse 9. Am I doing okay, sir? Okay. In the Voice edition of the Bible, James chapter 5, verse 9, it reads, brothers and sisters, don't waste your breath complaining about one another. If you judge others, you will be judged yourself. Be very careful. You will face the one true judge who is right outside the door. So we're warned against complaining. What's the opposite of what you could do instead of complaining? You could show gratitude. Everybody in this room, including me, has something that is not perfect about us. So just in case you didn't know there, I told you. We all have something imperfect about us. So the next time we encounter somebody's imperfection, I'm not saying don't identify it, but I'm saying after you identify it, say a prayer for them. Thank God that you have an opportunity to interact with them. Maybe you have the missing piece. Maybe you have the missing piece. And instead of giving it to them, what do? We just complain. Then we have Philippians chapter 2, verse 14, still talking about complaining and criticalness. Philippians chapter 2, verse 14 from the Amplified Classics. It says, do all things without grumbling and fault finding and complaining against God, and questioning and doubting among yourselves. So when you have that attitude where you're fault-finding, grumbling, complaining, all of that, it's very difficult for you to show gratitude. If your complaining gives you results, that's good. But if you're complaining to yourself or to each other and it doesn't give any results, then remember that's a block. It's a blockade towards your ability to show gratitude. So this is the last part of it. So stay with me. So the big question is, how do we cultivate a godly, grateful attitude? Notice I put in godly, because there are many people who are not godly, but they are grateful, right? They have big nonprofit organizations, they have money, they give it out, and that principle works whether you know God or not. But for us, the challenge is doing it in a godly way. Okay. Now, first of all, I want to start by reminding you that gratefulness is not a natural thing. We were not born to be grateful. We were not. We were not born to be grateful. So just like the Bible talks about we were born as sinners, we're not born to be grateful people. So it's something that you actually have to cultivate, develop, right? It's like faith. We were not born to have faith. It's something that we develop, we cultivate. So we have to choose to do it. And the more we do it, the more it becomes us. So how do we develop this godly attitude of gratefulness? One is you develop a heart of contentment. Develop a heart of contentment. Satisfaction. Right? There's some statistics that tell us that 10% of our happiness comes from our circumstances. Aren't you surprised? So all the things around you, I don't have a car, I'm broke, my neighbor is not nice. The researchers say, yeah, it's only 10%. So there. How about the 90%? 50% is actually genetic. You've heard of personality and traits? So even from babies, you can tell babies that seem to be really rambunctious, and then babies that are very quiet. So there's a personality part of it. So your circumstance you don't control, but it's only 10%. Your genetics, okay, it's 50. Let's talk about the 40%. Let's talk about the 40%. The 40%, according to researchers, is your attitude and how you handle things. Now that is up to you. So your neighbor is bad, you don't have a car, you're broke, your job, you got fired, all of that is 10%. Let's do the 40. How are you going to handle that? So it still puts the responsibility on us. It's how we see things and how we choose to respond. That is what affects our attitude of gratefulness. Philippians chapter 4, verse 11 in the NIV, Philippians 4, 11. Paul says, I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstance. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstance. The key word there I want you to focus on is learn. So Paul didn't say, I was born to be content. Paul says, I have learned. Right? So learning comes from you. You have to be willing to see things differently. You have to be willing to try something. And that is what changes your attitude. A second way to cultivate that godly attitude of gratitude is to meditate on his goodness. Meditate on God's goodness. Take time to observe. Savor it. Enjoy your environment. Sometimes when you're driving, be like, you know, some of my senior citizen friends in the Poconos, they drive real slow, like enjoying the trees. But there's something to it, because you know what? We follow them and we're saying, come on, come on, come on. And I've finally started asking myself, where am I going? I mean, if you're late going to work, that's different. But if all you're doing is driving back home just to sit and watch the news, come on. Slow down and enjoy the lake. Look at the trees. We're really taking things for granted. A scripture I have for you is Psalm 8, verses 1 through 4. Psalm 8, verses 1 through 4, and this is in the New King James Version. It says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. Now, verse 3 is what I really like. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? When I consider your heavens, the works of your fingers, the moon and the stars. Come on. We're so busy. I don't know the last time we saw the stars. Sometimes let's be like kids. Put a blanket on the grass and just stare at the stars. It will do you good. I'd rather stare at the stars than stare at some people. Take a walk. Take a walk. You know, you don't have to be a hiker going up in the mountain. Just take a walk and enjoy God's creation. Amen? Very important, because whatever you feed your spirit with, that's what you live. So again, for you to develop that attitude, meditate on God's goodness. A third point that would help develop that attitude, a godly attitude of gratitude, is watching your words. What you say to yourself and what you say to others. I know that as people who are scholars of the word of faith, we know this, saying the things that are not as though they are, and I'm going to read that scripture. But how practical is it? Do we actually use it? Or do we, sometimes we know how to quote the scripture, but we don't know how to apply the scripture practically in our lives, right? So Romans chapter 4, verse 17 in the English Standard Version, Romans chapter 4, verse 17. It reads, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. We're talking about Abraham. And in the presence of God, in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. So we serve a God who calls into existence the things that do not exist. Remember, this is an attitude. So if you call into existence things that do not exist, you're more likely to have a positive attitude than if all you're doing is complaining about the things that do not exist. Again, if complaining isn't helping you, then it's not a good act. Drop it. It's not a course you should be taking. Just drop it off your course load. Another scripture with our words is from Joel 3:10. Joel chapter 3, verse 10. Again, I'm picking these scriptures that almost everybody knows so that we don't forget them. But my focus is the Holy Spirit getting us to move past knowing scriptures, but applying the scriptures directly to our lives. So Joel 3:10, beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. We all know that, right? And we even added, let a poor say I'm rich. That's not part of the scripture, but it's a cute way to end it. But the scripture actually said, let the weak say I am strong. Now, it doesn't mean you're strong. You're acknowledging the fact that you're weak, but by Christ, you're saying I am strong. So instead of saying I'll never get a promotion, why? Because my boss is mean. Start praying for your boss and keep saying, thank you, Jesus, that my promotion is coming. That puts you in a better mood. Think of it. Just even if you were not a Christian, can you imagine waking up complaining every day about your boss? It doesn't do anything. You're still not getting a promotion. So why don't you join the club that's saying, thank you, God, for this boss. I thank you that I'm working with this boss because he probably does not know God and needs someone to pray for him. And I'm praying for him. And I thank you that my promotion is coming. That neighbor, I don't like my neighbor. That means God put you there to pray for your neighbor. I wish they would move out. No, they're not going anywhere. I'm praying them out. No, They are there. Because remember, God is sovereign, and from the day you were born, what did we say the last time when I talked about repositioning? From the day you were born, God knew that neighbor would be there. So why are we praying them out? How about pray for them? Amen? So our words to ourselves and to others is very important. A fourth way that would help you cultivate that godly attitude is to remember and acknowledge God in all your ways. Remember and acknowledge God in all your ways. Psalm 103 verse 2. Psalm 103 verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. You're well, you're dressed, you're sitting here, you drove here. Those are benefits. Might I go on? You are able to stand up. I mean, in the job that I do, I always tell my family, it really humbles me. You know, we all talk about COVID, who believes it is, who doesn't. I've worked with someone, and he's given me the permission to share his story. He said, even share it on campus. He did not believe COVID was real, blah, blah, blah. His son got it, he got it, and guess what? He was in a coma for about 3 months and went into rehab for another 3 months, and now the man has 3 or 4 of his fingers amputated because while in the coma, I think there wasn't any blood flow there. I was shocked when I didn't know COVID could do that, right? So when you sit here and you're turning these pictures, these pages, thank God that you could do it. Because for me, it humbles me. I know someone who can do it, right? And that's the thing to remember, acknowledge God. Colossians 3:17 from the Message Bible, Colossians 3:17, it says, let every detail in your lives, words, actions, whatever, be done in the name of the Master Jesus, thanking God the Father every step of the way. Let all your deeds acknowledge God. Amen. Another way, we're almost done. Another way that would help you cultivate that attitude of gratefulness is in your prayers throughout the day. In your prayers throughout the day. As Christians, we're used to only going to God when we need something. So what we do is when we don't need anything, we don't talk to God. When we need something, then we talk to God. I mean, I always say, I thank God Susie's not God. Because you know the first thing I was going to say, oh, now you want to talk to me? But you know, we have a God who is faithful and doesn't do that. Amen? So in our prayers throughout the day, if you look, let's look at Psalm 119, verse 164. Psalm 119, verse 164. In the New King James Version, it says, 7 times a day and all day long do I praise you because of your righteous decrees. Now, I don't want you to make a theory out of the 7 times a day. I am more interested in praising him all day long. When you see that there's a big wind in the Poconos and people's trees fell and yours didn't, praise God for my trees. Because I've had a tree falling and I know what that feels like. We've had a family friend a long time ago who went out to cut his tree and unfortunately the tree fell on him and he died. Yeah, this is drastic. But isn't that sounds very simple? People cut their trees in the Poconos all the time, right? So till you have some of these experiences, instead of saying, oh my goodness, that's scary, it should be praise God that I'm doing all these things and God is keeping watch over me. Still talking about praying throughout the day, Psalm 145 verse 2 says, every day I will bless you and I will praise your name forever and ever. Remember the second song we sang by Maurette Brown Clark? I just want to praise you forever and ever and ever. That is an attitude that helps us. Learning to praise God forever and ever. Thank you that I'm awake. Thank you that I'm, you know, if you've been around Hasidic Jews, because I lived in Long Island, I knew. quite a number of them. They thank God for everything. Thank God that I was able to pee. Because you know there are people who can't pee. You know, we have nurses here. Audrey will tell you, you know, thank God I could pee. Thank God that I could poop. I know it's not something we talk about. There are many things. Thank God that I'm breathing smoothly. Thank God that I have teeth to chew. You know, there's so many opportunities to thank God for a daily basis that I want to remove you from the Thanksgiving thanking. Now, what is the Thanksgiving thanking? Oh, thank God that he's good and his message. Yeah, we know that. How is God good to you as an individual? What has God done for you today that you can thank him for? That is what the Holy Spirit is pushing us to do. Now, the last way in which we can help develop a godly attitude of gratitude is to acknowledge and express thanks. Am I on the right slide? Sorry. So acknowledge and express thanks or appreciation to people around you. Acknowledge or express thanks or appreciation to people around you is the last bullet point on the slide. So people around you, your family, your spouses, your parents, your children, learn to acknowledge and express appreciation. They do things for you. Stop taking it for granted. Your child brings you a cup of water. Say thank you to them. They didn't have to. And your parents are probably saying, yeah, they do. Well, yeah, you've never met some defiant children, right? So there are children who are being very defiant. Now, if your children are blessed enough to bring you that cup of water, I think you should learn to say thank you. And even if your children say, no, you don't have to, I think you should teach them that, yes, I do have to. Because the relationship between the child and the parent typifies the relationship between us and God, right? So if we're discouraging from them from doing it, then we're not going to do it with God. Now, it's not just in our family, but also in our community. Acknowledging and expressing thanks and appreciation to others, right? Pastors. And it doesn't have to be a money thing. I think life has become so money-minded that sometimes when we don't have money or a gift card, we don't know how to say thank you. I'll write you that note. If you don't want to read it, that's okay. I mean, this note that I got from the OBGYN people in Lehigh Valley Poconos, I'm going to keep it forever. I'll be the old lady with these cards in my trinket, and you're going to read it. And then they'll say, who are these? Right? But doing that in our community builds a better community. The teachers. Many of us say, I don't want to be an elementary school teacher. Well, if you don't, then guess what? Say thank you to that person that's braving it. Bus drivers. Can you imagine being a school bus driver? Chuck used to drive the school bus. I have a lot of stories. So thank those school bus drivers instead of having an attitude. They're 5 minutes late. Well, I don't think they were sitting at their green light saying, shall I go? Shall I not go? They're 5 minutes late because something happened. Something happens on this road. Some kid was calling someone another bad name and they had to stop and straighten them up. Bus drivers don't just drive the bus. They are correction officers nowadays, right? So saying thank you is very important. Now, I know in our church, we do that Thanksgiving when we send the pies to the police. And in the past, there were times that Minister Joe and I took it to the Stroudsburg police near Dunsbury Park. And it was so funny because, like, when you go, they were waiting for it. And I remember the first time I had, you know, I was nice, but in my mind I had an attitude. You know how we have all these stereotypes about cops? So I said, why? There's no donuts in Dunkin' Donuts? That's what I thought. But you know what? After a while, I realized that they appreciate it. Because TV has shown so many bad cops that the good ones, you know, it takes me back to when I see a policeman to think this is somebody's father or mother. They want their father or mother or grandpa home with them today. And the fact that there's some bad ones who did that, it's like church. Right? I forgot what that show is, but there's a show, I don't even know. It shows like church people. Really? I refuse to watch it. I watch one and I refuse. Here's my reason. It could be that whatever they're showing may be true, but I can bet you it's not true of 75% of churches. So I'll start watching it when they show normal churches. You know, I looked at it and said, my pastors don't do that. So why give the rest of the world an impression that that's what church is all about, right? So, but a sense of appreciation is reaching out to the community and showing that you appreciate them. Now, is there a biblical basis for it? Let's look at Proverbs chapter 11, verse 25. Now, there's a new version of the Bible that I came across this time. It's called the Expanded Bible. Proverbs 11, 25. It says, whoever gives to others will get richer, or blesses others will be refreshed. Those who help or satisfy others will themselves be helped and satisfied. So this is almost like you give and you get. But when you show that appreciation, gratitude towards the other people in your community, you get a sense of satisfaction. And so this is very, very important. I'm rounding up, and what I'm going to do is throw a challenge to you. As I started preparing for this message, there is something that came to my heart. And Zena is going to be handing out a little booklet to each one of you. So we'll be honest. We didn't do it in the morning because I thought that all of you would write your notes in it, and that's not why I'm giving it to you. Get your own notebook for notes. So this is the assignment. It's a little book, and it has about 30 pages if you count the front and back. It's a blank notebook. And what I want to challenge you with is, for the next 1 month, before you go to sleep every day, write down 1 to 3 things that God has done for you. Any 1 to 3. And the guys, no excuse. I made sure it's a book that can fit in your pocket. 1 to 3 things that God has done for you. And if you're little, with the exception of Isaac, everybody can write. Mamiokwa can write, right? Yeah, see? God's gave you that pretty hair, Mamiokwa. You can write about it. So form the habit. Now, will you forget some days? That's okay. If you forget, you can go back and do it. That's okay. So just write the date, put it on, and maybe I'll ask the pastors, maybe in another month, we'll see if some people have testimonies. Because as you keep doing this, it changes your attitude. It makes you more grateful. It makes you focus on what God is doing for you and how without that, you wouldn't be where you are. Amen? So I'm going to conclude. We're going to listen to a music. You've noticed that that's my style of doing things, right? And as we do that, it's an old song by Andre Crouch, my tribute. I want you to start this, begin thinking about what God has done for you so far. So I'm going to encourage you to listen to that, sing with it. And then after that, we'll close in prayer, and that would be it. I know I went over, but okay. Audrey said, Audrey's attitude, A+. It didn't feel like it. That's all that matters. Shanjo said it didn't. Amen. Amen. So I take it back. I did not go over. I delivered what I was supposed to deliver in good time. Amen. So as the music is playing, let's sing with it. Focus on the words and remember that an attitude of gratitude is key over here. Amen.